It's a trip to the Windy City under the lights. Hi again, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the CBSSports.com NASCAR Track Talk Podcast. Pete Pistone here, and after last week's thrilling finish in Daytona, Tony Stewart and Kyle Busch providing the 4th of July fireworks, it's on to Chicagoland Speedway for Saturday night's LifeLock.com 400. Last week's battle between Stewart and Busch is still the talk of the NASCAR garage area, but Stewart says despite all of the drama and the excitement, what happened at Daytona is nothing new in the world of NASCAR.
It was something that happened before that phone call even happened, and I mentioned it to Kyle, and he kind of laughed about it. Was the fact that, you know, everybody's made such a big deal about this all of a sudden happening. And a good friend of mine reminded me of the very first TV race, the first 500 that they showed on national TV, and it was Donnie Allison and Cale Yarborough, same type of incident on the backstretch for the win. I mean, this, what happened this weekend, what happened at Talladega, none of this is new. And I think it's our responsibility to educate everybody that, hey, this isn't something that this is the first time this has happened. This has been going on for a long time.
Stewart will be shooting for his third win of the season in Saturday night's race at a track that most drivers like, especially since the night racing went into Chicagoland Speedway. Kurt Busch is a guy who loves going to the Windy City. It's the place where his favorite baseball team, the Chicago Cubs, plays, and he'll be in the stands on Sunday when the Cubs play the Cardinals. But before that, it's the matter at hand on Saturday night. Busch is looking forward to going to the Windy City for some fun, relaxation, and trying to get the victory lane.
Yeah, Chicago's just a great city. That's where my family really is from. My mom and dad were born and raised there, and just with my ties with the Chicago Cubs, I love chances to go to Chicago. To me, it's like a New York City, but yet it's in a Midwestern feel. And that the racetrack, yeah, it is a little far from town, but when you do commute back in, there's plenty of things to do and to see. And the fact that we race there now at night, Saturday night, it opens up that Sunday, and I plan on going to the Cubs game that Sunday after the race. It's actually a doubleheader against the Cardinals. So
Busch comes into the weekend fourth in points, and the Penske Racing team has made some great strides since winning the Daytona 500, with Ryan Newman and Kurt Busch finishing 1-2 back in 2008. Getting used to the new car is something Busch says has taken time, but he likes the results that he's seeing.
We were behind the scenes thinking that we were going to be fine with this new car, yet we got hit with a steamroller when we debuted it basically in 2008 full-time. And so it's been a learning curve. We anticipated here at Penske Racing that we could have just a few cars in our stable and take these cars that were more universal to all the different styles of tracks. And basically what it's gotten down to is the quantity of cars have gone back up. Cars have taken on their own identity for specific racetracks. And the fact that, like today, sitting down looking at our notes from last year's Chicagoland race, we just wadded it up and threw it in the trash can because we've changed everything.
Chicagoland Speedway has been on the NASCAR calendar since 2001 when it opened its gates, along with its sister track, the Kansas Speedway. And although both are mile-and-a-half tracks, they're not as similar as many believe, including Clint Bowyer, the Kansas native, who looks to do well this weekend in Chicago as well as when the series goes to his home track in Kansas as he tries to make this year's chase for the Sprint Cup Championship.
Yeah, you know, Chicago is important to me in a little bit different way. You know, probably because its sister track, Kansas, is my home track. And, you know, I know when I leave Chicago how much work I got to do to run well at my home track in Kansas. We've been very fortunate to go to Kansas and run well, run up front for your hometown crowd. And I think it's due in part to, you know, learning and working hard and honing in on Kansas in particular and using Chicago as a little bit of a test session for that. You know, but this time around, we're find ourselves outside the chase. You know, last year we were kind of comfortably inside the chase pretty much the whole time and always, you know, stayed in the chase. So You know, this year we're having to, you know, use every opportunity we can to try to gain some ground and keep their consistency down to where we can find ourselves in this chase, hopefully. So Chicago's a, you know, all these races, these next 10 races are very important to the outcome of our, you know, of our season.
Denny Hamlin's another driver who sees the difference between Chicagoland Speedway and Kansas Speedway, as well as other mile and a halves on the schedule. And he's looking forward to tackling the unique challenge on Saturday night.
No, it's one of the tracks that you really can't compare to anywhere. It's a mile and a half in its own for sure. It's relatively flat track, and I think it's lost a ton of grip over the last couple of years there, whether it be for weather and or whatever reason. But it's good. It's had really good racing in the past. I know last year they had a great finish with the 48 and 18. So. It's we like going there. It's, you know, somewhat close to the city, so we can kind of visit there and you know, spend time there on Sunday. So I like going there for that reason.
One of the biggest surprises of the season has been the performance of Marcos Ambrose. The former Australian road racer has made strides in his first full season in the Sprint Cup Series, and the JTG Doherty Racing driver knows that the intermediate track program for his team will be tested this weekend at Chicagoland.
Sure, you know, looking forward to Chicago. It's a unique track. We only get there once a year, so you know, we don't quite know what to expect. Although I feel like our 1.5 mile program has been going well, and that any of those tracks, 1.5 mile racetracks, we feel like we can contend for a top 10, which in my first year is what we had to aim for.
Kevin Harvick is on top of the driver averages list at Chicagoland Speedway coming into the weekend. Harvick won the first two races held at the track in 2001 and 2002, and he's working on a string of three straight top five finishes for an average finish in eight starts of 7.4. Kyle Busch, the defending race winner, next on the list in four career starts. He has a 7.8 average finish. Jimmy Johnson has yet to make it to victory lane, but in seven starts, he has six top 10 finishes, including a runner-up run to Kyle Busch a year ago. Brian Vickers next on the list in four career starts. He has an average finish of 9.3. And Matt Kenseth from nearby Cambridge, Wisconsin, rounds out the top five, an average finish for Kenseth of 9.8. He has two straight top 10 finishes. After this weekend at Chicagoland, it'll be an off weekend for the Sprint Cup Series before we return to action on Sunday afternoon, July 26th at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for this year's running of the Allstate 400 at the Brickyard. That'll do it for this edition of the CBSSports.com NASCAR Track Talk podcast. This is Pete Pistone reporting.